Shalom Yehudim, Shalom Lebnei Noach, Shalom Goyim. It's the evening of the second day, Tesfav B'Chodesh Iyar, Parashas B'Chukosai, the 29th day of the Omer, Tavshin Ayin Tes, 5779, the evening of the first day, Sunday, 19 May, 2019, webcasting from The Obsession. The land of Israel and its Jews are the obsession of the world. And so there has been good news and bad news from historically the most anti-Semitic goy, anti-Jew nation in history, even before the 20th century. I'm speaking of Germany. On Friday, the Bundestag voted its judgment that the BDS movement is not what it claims to be, a support group for the victims of Zionism, the poor, poor, archaic nation of Palestine, whose entire country was stolen from them by the Jews. No, it is an anti-Semitic organization, and of course wants to see Israel destroyed, God forbid. They voted their recognition that the BDS movement, modeled on the anti-apartheid movement in Southern Africa two decades ago, should not be modeled on that situation because that was about skin color discrimination. The war against Israel is against equal rights for Jews. What the invention of the Palestinians did was to camouflage this reality that the violence against the Jews was meant to prevent them from self-rule, to no longer be under the Muslim jackboot or sandal, as the case may be. For 14 centuries, Jews lived under Muslim rule and every day suffered discrimination in one way or another. The Arab-Israeli conflict was about the Arab war to destroy the independent state of the Jews, versus today's Israeli-Palestinian conflict in which it's the Jews preventing the authentic owners of Palestine from having an independent state too in Palestine, which is no less their ancient homeland than it is for the Jews. Two states for two peoples with the identical legitimate historic right to an independent state in Palestine. You see, what the Arabs do when confronted with arguments like ours, it's not to refute the arguments, but to steal them. Ishmael's a thief. As Islam is nothing but Judaism purloined and perverted, so Palestinian nationalism is to Zionism, filched and twisted. Islam has not one fresh idea of its own. The whole edifice rests on Muhammad's claim that he was the last of the great prophets of the Jews. The final prophet is how Muslims proudly refer to him. Think of the honorific here. Final means implies after a series, a list. And in this case, all of them were Yidden. They're all Jews. In effect, Muhammad stole the entire prophetic lineage of us Jews and claimed it was his, that he was the final and logical greatest prophet of them all. That's Islam. What Islam did to Judaism, Palestinian nationalism does to Zionism. Makes the claim that the Palestinians, no less than the Jews, say this is their ancient homeland too, and just like the Jews, they have been persecuted by racist Nazi-like people, Jews. The Jews suffered from Nazis and earned a state, so the Palestinians suffered at the hands of racist Zionists who acted like Nazis. And so the Palestinians deserve a state in Palestine just like the Jews. Well, God bless the Bundestag for having the sobriety to see through the ruse of the BDS fakers, a support group for the patriotic Palestinians who ask for nothing but their own state in the West Bank. Yeah, right. Bundestag said, no, you are anti-Jews, and we know how dangerous this kind of thinking can be. And it's interesting that the leading legislator who led and pushed for this historic vote, setting an example for the rest of Europe, as the first country to speak the truth about BDS, the point man is an Iranian German named Bijan Degir Sarai, 42 years old. That's all I could get on his bio in English. Evidently born 2 years before the Shah was deposed, so he might have been, as an infant, a refugee with parents who fled Iran to Germany because the mullahs had taken over. Whatever his bio, he led the drafting of the text that they voted on, words that included the following, quote, "Anti-Semitism has proved itself to be the most devastating form of group-focused enmity in the history of our country, and it is still a threat, both to people of the Jewish faith and our liberal democratic constitution." His motion calls to decisively resist the BDS campaign and condemn all calls to boycott Israeli products and businesses, as well as scientists, artists, and athletes, close quote. This man, Bijan Jijir Sarai, separately told the newspaper Bild, quote, Israel's right to exist is of central importance to German politics, close quote. And what I find praiseworthy and encouraging here, with almost the whole of the Bundestag voting together on this language, is the recognition that anti-Semitism is not only a bummer for us Jews, other people get hurt too, big time. Look at what the Germans in their hysterical Jew hatred did to themselves. They killed off a third of our people, and in the process a sixth of their own went down. 8 million Germans died in World War II, died in those 12 years of Hitler's Third Reich. Their capital, Berlin, their major cities, all reduced to ruins and rubble. Their country occupied by enemy aliens who ordered them around. And if we can say that at the heart of Hitler's drive to conquer the world was the quest for every Jew to kill us all, then the other 54 million people who died in World War II were also the victims of that lunatic's obsession. Anti-Jew hatred is a powerful force. Look at the destruction it brought on Germany. And one has the sense that at least in this German parliament today, in a moment of collective sobriety, sanity, the legislators, knowing their country's history, probably did not have a hard time sensing the bloodthirstiness in BDS, reminiscent of their grandparents' lunacy that brought on all that suffering and destruction. This is why I think that as the Holocaust is remembered here every year, so the Germans should have, if they don't, a similar solemn Holocaust Remembrance Day for themselves, to remember what they did to themselves in their maniacal war of annihilation against us. Which is not to say it all is well in Deutschland, despite this nice vote yesterday on Friday. Overall, the news out of that country is not good. And there has been a 20% rise in anti-Semitic attacks over the previous year. And on May Day, there were neo-Nazis marching in the streets of a German town in East Germany, Plauen, allowed by the police. For the decades after the war, this behavior in public was a criminal offense and probably is still on the books. There was also a report about the Deutsche Bank, which is based in Frankfurt. It's a major bank, and they closed the account of a longtime customer, a German-language Jewish newspaper called Israel Heute, Israel Today, with no explanation. And then last week was this outrage, that's the word for it, at the Friedrich Ebert Foundation, which belongs to the Social Democratic Party, the SDP, for hosting an Iranian affiliated with a foundation in Iran dedicated to disproving the Holocaust. You know, like Mahmoud Abbas, legions of stupid people had hoped he would have the wisdom and courage to compromise with Al-Yahud so that his ancient Palestinian brethren could have the cute little state they have been dreaming about for thousands of years, just like the Jews. Yeah. We live in a generation of denial, delusions, wishful thinking, and chronic anti-Jewitis. So this Ebert Foundation's Social Democrats hosted a panel discussion, one of whose participants was one Syed Khatibzadeh of the so-called Institute of Political and International Studies located in Iran, which operation in 2006, you may recall, organized a celebratory international Holocaust denial conference in Tehran. And according to Nazi hunter Ephraim Zuroff, this so-called institute, it's a front for the Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps that works with Nazi groups. The IRGC is a terrorist organization, according to the United States. Germany's foreign minister as well, Heiko Maas, is also SDP. Last February, his ministry were guests at the Iranian embassy to celebrate 40 years of the Molochracy. His foreign ministry also ordered its UN delegation last year, 16 separate times at the UN, to vote with the Iranians against Israel. President of Germany is also SDP, Frank-Walter Steinmeier, with two stints as foreign minister, who always impressed me with his coldness to Israel. In February, he likewise sent a telegram to the Iranian embassy with congratulations. So, Dankeschön to the Bundestag for this honest, pioneering vote on BDS as another strain of anti-Semitism. But overall, the atmosphere in Germany, when it comes to Jews in Israel, is not an optimistic one. Now, here in Israel, There was further evidence of what I said at the top. The land of Israel and its Jews are the obsession of the world. This was evident, I think, in last evening's Eurovision extravaganza in Tel Aviv, in which the only intrusions of politics in a gathering of so many nations dedicated to music was the group from Iceland wearing women's cosmetics and in the garb of sadomasochistic degenerates, displaying some signs referencing Palestine, and also the now over-the-hill, always semi-talented Madonna. In her profundity, had one of her ensemble wear an Israeli flag and another wear the flag of the PLO terrorists. Unfortunately, there were protests against Eurovision by Haredim and black-garbed national religious rabbis in Jerusalem, I think, who these rabbis can be mistaken for Haredim, all protesting the violation of the Sabbath and perhaps the vulgarity of it all. I say unfortunately, for when they are the only public face of opposition to this entertainment, it occludes other Israelis who are not mistaken for Haredim. How much better to see Israelis without visible signs of religiosity also repelled by this entertainment that dishonestly portrays Israel as a European country when it should not be so fixated on Europe anymore. Europe's dying. And in this spirit, another news story concerns the upcoming in 2 weeks Jerusalem Day, when we remember the unification in 1967 under Israeli rule, during which, as usual, in 2 weeks, there will be a march through the city, including through the so-called Muslim quarter. The leftist anti-Jew Israeli NGO called Ir Amim filed suit with the High Court to stop that march because it's so close to the end of Ramadan, they fear that this might upset the Muslim Goyim living there. But this march has been contested before the High Court in years past, and the court always denied the petitions, and this one too. That's the precedent. So the march will go forward as usual. But what I found significant was the coverage of this story by the Times of Israel website, Joshua Davidovich reporting. The headline was, quote, High Court rules Nationalist Jerusalem Day March can pass through the Muslim quarter. Nationalist Jerusalem Day March. The NGO Ir Amim had petitioned to reroute the march. Davidovich wrote, quote, the march is usually attended by far-right activists, and the Muslim quarter route has been the source of tension in the past. Shopkeepers are usually told to close early, and residents are made to stay at home as flag-waving nationalists march by, close quote. Yeah, nationalists in the headline and far-right flag-waving nationalists in the body of the report. Why not just call them Israelis or Jews? They are, after all, waving the Israeli flag. And how does Davidovich know they are far-right? And what is far-right in any case? One can only wonder how knowledgeable this journalist is of the history of the Holy City. A city created by Jews thousands of years ago and has been identified with the Jewish people ever since. The narcissist resists identification with large groups. And because in the presence of others with identical feelings and thoughts, the narcissist loses his identity. He wants to be free and unattached and to stand out. Signs of patriotism make him uncomfortable. Does the writer know that Jewish men three times daily for thousands of years have had Jerusalem in their prayers, on their lips? Jerusalem is ground zero of the Jewish nation. And since it is a fact that the Muslims overwhelmingly do not respect our right to rule in Jerusalem, to rule anywhere in this land, and to rule over believers, this is a violation of Sharia law. The Jews giving orders to the believers? What is the alternative to denying the right of Jews to go anywhere we want in Jerusalem? It seems that journalist Davidovich, representative of this website, would prefer Jerusalem, what, to be shared by Israelis and ancient ones? Meaning peace had broken out and both sides had come to a fraternal agreement to share Jerusalem 50-50. Maybe the way Israel installed the situation in the cave of the Machpelah in Hebron. This would mean, in Jerusalem on the Temple Mount, Muslims relinquishing their presence on the Temple Mount and allowing us Jews to pray on it unmolested. Today, a Jew caught praying on the Temple Mount gets arrested by the Israeli police. The problem with Jews like Davidovich, who think those who insist on marching through the Muslim sections are far-right people. Why? There's a consensus in Israel that Jerusalem is ours, 100%. And there's nothing to be ashamed of celebrating the return of Jewish sovereignty to little Jerusalem. It's only about a mile square. That happened in 1967, and it was the first time since before the rise of Christianity, since the year 63 BCE, when the Romans were invited in and ultimately took over. One wonders, with the Times of Israel site, this reporter, if he knows that the so-called Muslim Quarter was an invention of the Brits to placate the Muslims. There was no Muslim Quarter in Jerusalem until the Mandate authorities invented it for them. Historically, there had been an Armenian Quarter. The Armenians established themselves in the city when they adopted Christianity in the 5th century, and they have been there ever since. Historically, there was a Christian Quarter focused on the Church of the Holy Sepulchre, and of course, the dominant majority Jewish Quarter, 2/3 of the city in the last decades of Muslim rule. But no Muslim Quarter. There weren't enough Muslims to have a quarter. That is how little Jerusalem meant to Islam. Jerusalem for them has meaning only as taken from the Jews and therefore a sign of Allah's bestowing the status of chosen people on Muslims. This is the significance of the Golden Dome of the Rock on the side of our temples. It's not a mosque, it's a shrine to conquest by the faithful. But other than that, it's meaningless. It was never the site of some meaningful speech or promulgation of some ethic or value. It's a memorial, no less, to the Islamic miracle story of Muhammad flying in from Mecca on Islam's version of Pegasus. Again, not a story freighted with religious or moral content and wisdom. To the extent that Israel remains weak in Jewishness, its journalists, like this one, will describe patriots as far-right extremists. And for your information, the name of the leftist NGO here, called Ir Amim, means City of Peoples in the plural, meaning not just Jews. Israelis and Ir Amim are not greedy Jews. They want to share Jerusalem equally with the ancient ones, who have as much right to it as Jews do. Thank you. You're listening to www.deprogramprogram.com, broadcasting from the hills of Judea. I'm Shai Ben-Tekoa. Well, there was another news item featuring the endless envy of Muslims for Jews, in this case, of the existence of the Holocaust. Everything the Jews have and have had is a cause for envy among the children of Ishmael, who was surely a sad and bitter fellow after being expelled from his father's family and community and turned into a nomad, dependent on his survival, on his bow and arrow. To be an Ishmaelite and an adherent of Islam, which very word alludes to the envy of Arabs for Jews and their world historic story of the binding of Isaac for a sacrifice by his father. Among the current triggers of this envy is the Holocaust, ergo the recent verbal droppings of Rashida Tlaib about the Holocaust, and this item today about an Al Jazeera video lesson, 7 minutes long, about the Holocaust, in which the Jews were called the biggest winner from the Holocaust. Ergo, what could have been so terrible when the Holocaust earned them the right to steal Palestine from the Palestinians? As the Muslims envy the Jews, our existence, as the victims of anti-Semitism that give us the right to browbeat the world and demand things, so they envy our Holocaust. And in psychic self-defense, believe they too were victims of the Nakba. In this video, the presenter, this woman in her hijab and robe, said, "Others suffered too, and it's not right that the Jews get so much attention, which they do because they control the media." This is the same psychological dynamic at work in the UN's International Holocaust Remembrance Day, during which the Holocaust is remembered as only one of many kinds of bigotries. Ergo, there's nothing special about it. This Al Jazeera journalist named Muna Hawa lectured that because the Jews had financial resources, money, 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 media institutions, research centers, and academic voices, they managed to put a special spotlight on the Jewish victims of the Nazis. Greece, the Serbs, Yugoslavia, and the Romani people also suffered, but the German reparations cannot be compared to the payments to Israel, which in turn devoured the reparations of all the Jewish victims to Nazism. Translation: the Jews got their hands on reparations that should have gone to these other nations too. These Jews are thieves. Overall, she said, quote, "Israel is the biggest winner from the Holocaust, and it uses the same Nazi justifications as a launching pad for the racial cleansing annihilation of the Palestinians," close quote. I find this fascinating, how the Arab mind works. Since 1948, the number of Arabs here with Israeli citizenship has multiplied 10 times. This is annihilation. And as for racial cleansing, not one Zionist, not one Israeli, not one Jew in the century plus years of the Zionist movement ever said one word about anyone's race. Do words have any meaning for these violent, hateful, primitive people? What psychological primitives like her cannot do is confront the reality that we Jews want to live free of her people because her people have been oppressing and humiliating us from day one of Islam. Oppressing, humiliating, and murdering us. No, it's because we're racist. We don't want to live with them. Seeing in the Holocaust a big win for the Jews is functionally demented. A third of the Jews in the world were exterminated. The tears of the survivors could fill an ocean. This is reminiscent of Rashida Tlaib thinking of the Holocaust, which generates a warm feeling for a history that never happened. It's news stories like these which shine a true light on the violence against us here. The hostility to us has nothing to do with any Palestinians, since it is the same hatred we knew here in the 20s and the 30s and the 40s of the last century, when the Arabs here denied there was such a country as Palestine and were smitten with Adolf Hitler. It's the same animosity behind the historical massacres of Jews throughout Muslim history. The absence of a state for the Palestinians has nothing to do with it. Thank you.
Oifen krippitschig brennt a feier in den Stiebis Herz. In der Rebbe lernt kleine Kinder lach, der Himmel lebt. In der Rebbe lernt kleine Kinder lach, der
Okay, updating on the website. It's still being worked on. Much damage was done, and we shall see in the days to come how much can be salvaged. So, until next time, which is Tuesday, Laila Tov me'eretz Yisrael.